Once my heart was heavy, I was living in sin, but then I found Jesus, and he took me in, and he saved me, saved me, and from sin set me free, and he saved me, 'cause he loved me, yes. Jesus saved me. Once I thought I would never find peace of mind, but I gave my heart to Jesus, and he saved this soul of mine. Yes, he saved me. Save me, and from sin set me free. Yes, he saved me, 'cause he loved me. Yes, Jesus saved me. So if your heart is burdened, I'll tell you what to do. Just put your trust in Jesus, and he'll save you too, 'cause he saved me, and from sin set me free. Yes, he saved me, 'cause he loved me. Yes, Jesus saved me. Yes, Jesus saved me.
Live. Like I got saved when I was 18 years old. That's a few months ago. And I knelt in the feed alley of a cow barn, and I accepted Jesus there. And so then my new life started, and it was messy. You know, because, hey, let's face it, there's all kinds of sins, like thoughts and attitudes and all kinds of stuff that crops up, and woo-hoo. It's messy. You know, it's not just a matter of not getting drunk or not smoking or not doing this or not doing that. No. There's all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you what. I could go to any church here in Steinbach, and there are members in churches here in Steinbach that wallow in sin up to their eyeballs, and they have no idea how to get out of it. Some of you may wonder how certain things work. Like, for instance, I asked a room full of preachers. There was a number of preachers in that room, and I asked them, when the Bible talks about the heart of man, what is that? And it got silent. And finally, one of them said, that's a good question. I thought, oh, that's great. You know, finally, here's a guy that never even went to high school, and he actually got asked a good question. And I never really did get an answer. What is the heart of man that this Bible talks about? It's not talking about the organ that's pumping your blood. It's talking about something else. Well, I went in a home and I did a bunch of studying. And after I got a bunch of studying done, I all of a sudden decided in 2013 that I should write a little book. Because I had found out a bunch of stuff that I knew there's a lot of people that don't know. And I wrote this little book. It's called The Three in Me. And I brought some with me. They're not for sale. But how do I get it? Just take one. Just take one. If you find that it has done anything majestic in your spiritual walk, you can always send me some money. They cost me somewhere between $6 and $7 a piece, these books. Anyway, you know what? I had a medical doctor that gave me $500 for two. We brought a few CDs along and that kind of stuff too. But okay, we didn't come here to sell stuff, but we just want to let you know that, okay, it's available here, and you're welcome to pick it up. We'll sing one more song, and then we'll sing one at the end if they don't kick us out. Some of you people know about getting kicked out. Well, last week, Wednesday, they locked me out of prison. That really ticks me off when they lock me out of prison. Because I love to go to prison and tell the people that God loves you. Yeah, amen. Upon the rugged cross, my blessed Savior died. All because of me, he was crucified. The scriptures were fulfilled that day at Calvary. And the promises that Jesus made to me, I claim the promises that Jesus made to me. I claim the promises he signed at Calvary. Beneath the precious healing, cleansing flood, I claim the promises that Jesus signed in blood. I claimed it when he said that he would save my soul. He said he'd cleanse my heart and make me fully whole. Free from sin now forever I would be. I claim these promises that Jesus made to me. I claim the promises that Jesus made to me. I claim the promises he signed at Calvary. Beneath the precious healing, cleansing flood, I claim the promises that Jesus signed in blood. Beneath the precious healing, cleansing flood, I claim the promises that Jesus signed in blood.
Anyway, good, very good job, Rick and Carol. That was beautiful. A little bit of a change. Not the same routine that we have all the time. It's a nice infusion of something different. It was beautiful. I loved it. Yeah, give them another hand, guys. Oh, hi, Corny. See some familiar faces here. Welcome here. Yeah, all our visitors. Yeah, we welcome all the visitors here, by the way. Okay, let all the visitors please stand up. Yeah, there's a few of them back there, so we got a few of them here. That's good. So they must have come because of you. Anyway, the Lord is good. My message today is about the times we're living in. Are we living in the last days? We look at Scripture and see what Scripture says, whether we're living in the last days. And they are times of discernment. We have to discern through Scripture with the times that we see, the news, whatever you see happening. Is that equate the last days that Matthew talks about, 24, and the Apostle Paul talks about in Timothy? But my message today is going to be out of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 1 to 5. So I want to put up just the first scripture, or the first verse of chapter 1. Paul, the Apostle Paul of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Is that the right one? For some reason, I think there's something wrong here. Anyway, the scripture is, it should be chapter 3. And the scripture is, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the word translated perilous has the idea of troubles, difficulty, and stressful situations. This sort of atmosphere will mark the last days. So before I get into my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace, for your authority. Lord, your word is all authority. We can stand on it. It is yes, yes. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you have left that legacy, and not only a legacy, but something for us to stand on and to build upon, because it is our foundation. It's like you are our foundation to salvation. So, Lord Jesus, you will anoint us. You will open the hearts and minds of those who will listen, Lord Jesus, and hear this message that we need to be ready, for your appearing can be any minute you can appear. And we truly believe that because you say we should watch. We should watch and pray that you're accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Jesus. You will have our hearts be ready at all times. In Jesus' name I pray this. You may be seated. Again, in the last days, perilous times will come. And we can see by just watching the news, or if you have social media, and I'm not saying you should believe everything social media says, but there are some truths there, like there is truths everywhere. You just have to learn how to discern, and if you really want to know the truth, God is going to guide you in all truth, not some truth. So in Matthew 16, 1-4, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day because they did not or would not understand the meaning of their times. It called them hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. It's Matthew 16:3. It is possible that Jesus would have the same rebuke for some Christians today who are unaware of the last days and the soon return of Jesus Christ. So be not one of those. Be ready. Continuing in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 2-5. Here's a description of the human condition in the last days. It says, for men will be lovers. And here men means humankind. It doesn't mean specifically just men. It means mankind. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, they'll be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, they'll be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Oh, is that prevalent nowadays? Brutal, despisers of good. Wow, have you seen that lately? Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Here he says, from such people turn away. So I'm going to break down some of the words that he used here. It says men will be lovers of themselves. This is certainly a characteristic of our present age when men and women are encouraged to love themselves. People are told to love themselves unconditionally, and such self-love is the foundation for a healthy human personality, is what they say. That's not what the Bible teaches, though. You're told to deny yourself. Lovers of self, the word is literally self-lovers. And it points to the fact that the center of gravity of the natural man is self rather than God. Men will be lovers of money. The love of money is nothing new. It's been as long as this world has existed. But today people will sell their souls for money. People have the ability to pursue the love of money like never before. It's like it's the God of their life. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. So you can be broke and love money and have the same evil desire towards it as the money, if you would have it, could bring. Men will be boasters, proud, blasphemers. Boasting and pride and blasphemy are nothing new either. But today, they seem far more prominent than ever. Boasting, pride, and blasphemy, each act as if I am the most important person. Each of them say, you don't matter, God does not matter. All that matters is me. Me and myself. That was what would also be the definition of a narcissist. So here you have basically a narcissistic person. And that's all of the above that I had mentioned. It's me, myself, and I. You don't matter. Today, boasting, pride, and blasphemy are apparent everywhere, especially among the celebrities that our culture idolizes. Disobedient to parents. Wow, is that a familiar one that you see nowadays? It's either lack of parents being parents plus children being disobedient to parents. Since the 60s, there has been a frightening breakdown in the family and the authority once assumed by a child towards their parents. Next, men will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Ever since Adam, humankind has been marked by these things to one degree or another. Here Paul says things will especially be prevalent in the last days, unloving. Translated without natural affection in the King James Version literally means without family love. Is that a familiar sight, even in the churches today, never mind the world? Is unnatural love. Paul said that the end times would be marked by an attitude of growing disregard for normal family love and obligation. Next would be slanderers. Men will be slanderers. You know what slander is? To destroy somebody else's character, especially behind their back. Gossip. Men have always told hurtful lies about other men. But today, in media, especially in politics, slander has been elevated to both big business and big money. If you have watched politics, and when they run for a seat, how they knock the other person, whether they're true or lies, it doesn't matter. They just seem to enjoy digging up garbage that will destroy another person just to gain political power for themselves. In politics, candidates routinely and knowingly distort their opponent's position just to make their competition look bad. And they don't even feel bad at all the lying if it helps them get elected. In media, look at the news media. It's pure lies. If you dare to switch on that switch, then you are opening yourself to believing a lot of lies, just enough truth to make you think they are speaking the truth. But if you dig into anything that they speak on or anything that they promote, you follow the money trail, you will find out they're trying to make you think a certain way. In media, editors and news directors serve as prosecutors, judge, and jury. They do everything. An executioner to innocent who are wrongly suspected. And we have seen that, especially south of the border, and that's nothing new up here in Canada either. And usually refuse to apologize when they are proven to be wrong. So the Apostle Paul, almost 2,000 years, if it wasn't 2,000 years ago, already wrote of a condition that he knew through the Holy Spirit that we'll be facing, and look what we're facing. So don't for a second think that he just took a guesstimate or a stab at what will happen in the future, because he says these times have never happened at this scale than that what we're seeing happen. It's happening at a colossal scale, the things that he's talking about, and have come to fruition. And we see them happening before our very eyes. But remember this one thing. Jesus said, in this world, there will be trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Always be hooked up to Jesus Christ, because then there is no fear and no worry if you are hooked on to Jesus. It says, men will be without self-control. The story of no self-control can be written across almost everything today, whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, food, work. Whatever we do, we often do it out of control. In other words, whatever you feel like doing, just do it, as long as you do it with all your heart. And usually it equates to the love of, or to the lack of self-control when it comes to overindulging in things. I'm going to jump a bunch of these here because of lack of time, because I have a bunch more here. But I'm going to jump to something, the last part of the verse is having a form of godliness but denying its power. I myself have misinterpreted this one. In this case, it's talking about having a form of godliness but denying its power, or having a form of our religion, but they never got born again, is what it actually equates to. They never had the power that needs to change their lives. In our self-obsessed world, people feel very free to have a salad bar religion where they pick and choose what they want. They feel free to be very spiritual, but sense no obligation to be led by the Holy Spirit, the power which they deny. When we talk about the power of godliness, we often mean it in the sense of a power to give me what I want. But this is exactly opposite of what Paul meant here. The power of godliness that men will despise in the last days is the power it should have to guide our lives. Power in the sense of rightful authority. And many, many today deny that power, that God has the power to tell them what to do through His Word. In other words, denying the power, which is the Holy Spirit that has the ability to change them from within. Amen. And I'm going to have a message of salvation. I told you a few weeks ago, I'm going to end every day. We have a YouTube audience, and I want to make sure anybody who listens hears the message of salvation, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not complicated. All it takes is a humble attitude change. A change of mind, of changing your former ways are wrong, and you need to come to Jesus Christ. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If you want to come to Him, if you want to get into heaven, you have to go through that door, which is Jesus Christ. So I ask you, if you do not know Jesus Christ, like Brother Rick said this morning, we all remembered the time when we got saved. I remembered as if it happened today. That's how fresh it is in my mind. I have forgotten a lot of things, bad things, good things. I thank God for forgetting some of the bad things. But some of the good things I would like to remember, but this one I will have not forgotten. I remember where I drove, where I was, what happened, and I never repeated after anybody. Something happened within me, and that was the power the Holy Spirit brought. A new light into my life, which changed my attitude, and that was a new beginning for me. And that new beginning can be also for you. May you turn to Him now.
My little box went shut. Right when I had my best message, what do I do? Dismiss class? No. Good thing I got the old-fashioned Hallelujah Bible. King James Version, of course. We got the scriptures to put up, so put up the first one. The Apostle Paul knew what it meant to be born again. Holy Ghost very clearly explained it to him. And he ran into trouble right away. And then something happened to him. He wasn't just satisfied with just being born again. That he wasn't. Yes, that's the best thing that can ever happen to you. But the Apostle Paul knew there was something else. And some of you may already know. Hallelujah. But he gives us a warning. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For they are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. What will the circumcised ones do? That's the religious people of today. They will try to manipulate you. They will try to sway you this way and that way. You go on the internet, it's horrible. This one sways you this way, this one sways you that way. But the Apostle Paul has a formula. Hallelujah. We need to beware of those people. So where does this stand in second? I'll try and read out of this small book. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if other men think that he has, whatever he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he starts bragging, kind of, telling us who he was, how he qualified. And let me tell you, you sometimes hear those people talk. They seem to qualify, but they miss something. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. Listen to this, a Pharisee, and they kept the law to the T. They were better than everybody else. The other guys didn't know how to keep the law, but the Pharisees did. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. That's how he kept the law. Isn't that interesting? How many here try to stay blameless? Oh, you may not smoke, you may not drink, you may not watch pornography, but how is your mind? Most people seem to miss this little box up here. They have never learned how to control it. God, Paul says, casting down every evil imagination. A lot of Christians don't seem to understand that. Yes, we don't smoke. Big deal. Take a cigarette. Who cares? God's not going to kill you. But if you're going to curse all the time, you got a devil. Get rid of him. Hallelujah. And I've seen it. How about the other vices? You get rid of them. But the worst is the mind. How do you control that? Paul the apostle had a way. Yet I count it doubtless. Verse 8. Yet countless I doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Count them but dung. All your bragging is dung. What you tried to prove to me in the flesh, the Apostle Paul calls stuff that's in the barn that you walk on, that you have to clean out. It's called dung. I'd rather not get into nowadays language. So I'll keep that dung. You all know what it is. That's what God thinks of it. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Your righteousness is dung. That's hard for people to swallow. And the Apostle Paul said, touching the law, touching righteousness. I was perfect in that. Interesting, eh? So let's see where he takes us. He says that I may know him. How many of us have gotten to know Jesus? Yes, we may be born again, but do we know Jesus? Do we know what he wants from our hearts? Oh, we might go down the path of ministry, doing ever so good, but is that Jesus' plan for us? We may have those religious acts that we put on, but is Jesus satisfied? Are you walking the walk he wants you to walk? Hallelujah. That's the trick. Many people don't seem to understand. What does God want me to do? They grow up to be 60, 70 years old and still don't know the direction, the ministry, the vision that God has for them. What takes them so long? Here's what takes them so long. They never knew the heart of God. Yes, they're born again, saved by the blood of Jesus. They accepted him as their Savior, but they have neglected to search. What do you want from me, Lord? And we're all an individual. We don't fit into one box. Each and every one of us has something different, but we try to imitate one another. Hallelujah. Like Rick, I've known him for years. Him and his wife, they must have found their niche years ago. What is it? To go to church and sing? Mostly it's prison where they go to, where they minister to people who never hear hardly from God. Good for you guys. You've actually improved. If you don't mind that. Good wine improves. It doesn't go sour. So I have to say, I listened to you this morning. You have actually improved. I listened to you 30 years ago, so I don't quite remember. But to me, you have improved. God is still speaking through you. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is still speaking through you, if not clearer than he ever did. That's what we need to seek, the will of God from the heart. And the wine that's in us is going to grow sweeter and not sour and stale. Hallelujah. And then in verse 15, he said, I want to get to know him. See if you'll understand these things. Let us therefore as many. No. Verse 12, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. What? If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. He wants to do what Christ has called him to do. He wants to seek after that. He wants to apprehend that. He says, I don't know. I don't think I've obtained it yet. God, I'm going after it. How much, how many are even putting in an effort? You guys listening over YouTube, you may love to hear preaching, but do you put in an effort to seek the heart of God for your life? That's where it is. Yes, you might have fire insurance, but God has more for you. He wants to give you crowns. And if he wants to give us crowns, what must they be like? Hallelujah. God is a God that knows how to give. Then I like verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be what?
Perfect.
You got it. How did you manage to get perfect, Rick? How did you manage? You got the right answer. Through the blood of Jesus. He perfected us. Hallelujah. It's good to preach to people who know something. Hallelujah. Who can verify what I'm saying? Isn't that good? All of us, let those of us who have been made perfect be thus minded. Be thus minded what? To seek the heart of Jesus. What does he want? Go into all the world, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and these signs shall follow you. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of challenges in the Word. It's not just coming to church on Sunday, sitting in a pew, and afterwards going home. Oh, he had a good message. See you next week. Now, we should seek the Lord during the week and try to follow and do what he wants us to do. Let us do something with the perfection that we have. Hallelujah. God is a jealous God, and he loves us to see us do our best. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
We are living in the last days. I am delighted. I tell you what, I am delighted to see a bunch of people here that are under 20 years of age. How many of you are under 20 years of age? Under 20 years of age. See that, dear? That is incredible. At Refuge Ranch in Alberta, we have Music Day every second Saturday of the month. And there we just have old geezers. Every now and then we get some younger ones. And it's always nice to be among younger people. And I want to challenge you younger people. You don't know it all, do you? Well, I'll tell you what. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep studying. Keep into the Word. Get it. And you know what? We were in a little congregation in Pontic, Saskatchewan. Anybody know where Pontic is? He was listening. Yeah. There's an absolutely massive, massive, huge Catholic church in that town. It's incredibly big. It's just big. And I said, what in the world is a church, that Catholic church that size doing here? And then beside it is a big, big convent. And they still maintain these buildings in that convent. I was told that there's one nun that lives in there. And I said, where in the world does the money come from to keep this stuff going? And I was told that the money comes from France to keep that mobile. And it's just like the church is more than twice the size of this building. Like, it's huge. Anyway. Why did I start talking about that? That's right. You young people, get into the Word and get excited about it. See, I was 18 years old when I got saved, and then it took some doing to get rid of some of the trash, the mind. You know what? There's things going on in your mind, and that's going to affect your physical body one day. And the Word of God is absolutely true that the physical and the spiritual, they're at odds with each other. You're going to have to sort that out. Anyway, don't hesitate to come pick up one of those books. But anyway, you bet. One of these days, the trump of God is going to sound, and this boy is going to get excited. My cowboy boots are going to stay right here, and I'm Gonzo. I am out of here. Yep, and and some people may think, well, you know, when the trump of God sounds, I'm going to quickly change my mind, because then I know, no, you're not. Too late. You know, when I'm in prison, I get to talk to some of the guys, and I learned some stuff. Because one of the guys said to me one day, he says, Rick, would you pray for my great uncle? He passed away this week. And would you pray for him? And before I could say one word, one of the other guys said, too late. Really? Yeah, it's too late. When you're dead, your chance is over, done. You're finished. Whatever you have done up till that day, that's what's going to show up. And there's going to be a judgment, guaranteed. Oh, anyway, we're going to sing a song, weren't we?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
No, I am.
Well, it's sure to come a day when the trump of God will sound. I will lift up off this earth or will bust up from the ground. Jesus said he'd come again to take me where he is someday. When I hear the trumpet blow, friend, I'll sure be on my way, yeah. You ask, where is this Jesus we've heard about so long? Don't forget he's very patient to save you from your wrong. Repent and he'll forgive you, prepare for that great day. When you hear the trumpet blow, friend, you'll sure be on your way. Yeah, you will. The angels up in heaven do not even know the hour or the day when the trump of God will blow. He said, keep watch, for no one knows the hour or the day. Be ready for that trumpet sound. Let's all be on our way. Here we go now. God bless you folks real good.